Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues. Welcome back. This has been an interesting day. So many big news stories to track and watch. If you go to KMOX.com right now, first thing you'll see, list of coronavirus closings, cancellations, and postponements. If you click that link right on our homepage, there you are. And you can find the things, gatherings over 50 in St. Louis Metro banned for the next 2 months. That's what Mayor Lyda Crewson enacted. Schools now adding to the list. 26 different districts added just today. Public parochial schools across St. Louis City and County will be closed starting on Wednesday, March 18th through at least Friday, April 3rd. That means April 6th would be the tentative return date. But even that could be a little bit optimistic. It seems like they could come out a week from now and say, oh, we're going to push it back a week. Or they can come out 2 weeks from now and say, oh, we're going to push it back a few weeks. Part of the quote that came out today, it says, the decision to close our school districts was extremely difficult, made in consultation with all area superintendents and out of the abundance of caution for our families, the group said in a news press release that came out today. St. Charles County also says all schools will be closed through April 3rd. Classes are set to resume April 6th. An email from a couple of different places. Okay, practices, sports, contests, performances, everything canceled. Extracurricular practices, competitions, everything canceled starting on Wednesday. And I know that a lot of parents are even considering, maybe I just hold my kid out now. And I think the school districts are prepared for that too, understanding. But I think a lot of them are going to be on the break anyway. It's a lot of them just returning from break, not being able to return from break. I see people posting photos online saying, oh, my kid came back from college and told just to stay here. They could be here for the rest of the semester. Man, think about that too. They could be away from a college campus that long. A lot of people wondering, what am I paying them for? Do I get a refund? All of a sudden it turns into, you know, University of Phoenix where you're online doing online classes and it's not the exact same experience. And even the superintendents we spoke to from Rockwood and Parkway earlier said the exact same thing. They understand this is not a substitution. So they're still trying to figure out how they're going to handle this. Are they going to extend the calendar out? Are they not? Is this going to count? How are they going to handle it? Was it really meant for a long term? So they're trying to do that. In fact, I'm going to replay that interview this hour. Rockwood Superintendent Dr. Mark Miles and Parkway Superintendent Keith Marty had some excellent things to say there. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. That's where we're at right now. And I know there's a lot of people wondering what's going to happen in St. Louis. You know, no more than 50, but are they going to close the bars and restaurants down? A lot of restaurants already hurting, and they're thinking to themselves, how in the world do I survive this? In Illinois, they're already saying that. I've seen pictures online. Very, very disappointed with the decision that Governor Pritzker made. Some other states, Ohio, Michigan, some other, you know, like New York, you see that happening too. Kentucky said, no, we're not closing it down. We're going to keep it open, but you have to act responsibly. Wash your hands. Make sure you're doing it for the right amount of time. Try to distance yourself. If you're a high-risk candidate, definitely do that. But the CDC recommends no gatherings of 50 or more for 8 weeks, and that's a long time. You know what that means? Before, when they were trying to figure out how they're going to handle this sort of thing when it came to the professional sports, if I was the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, any of these, they've got to at least imagine right now for the next 8 weeks, we're probably not doing anything. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That puts us at May 10th. That's 8 weeks from now, May 10th. This is a Sunday, May 10th. Wow, that's a long time. What if it goes past that? So the CDC recommending the gatherings of 50 or more in the U.S. be canceled or postponed over the next 8 weeks because of the coronavirus pandemic. Governors are closing restaurants, bars, schools, expecting a 14-day national shutdown may be needed. If that, they look at what's going on in Italy and Spain. And I've actually spoke to some people overseas that are experiencing this, too. Just, you know, and I talked to my friend Drex, and we're going to hook up with him at 12:30. We do that on Sunday nights. Drex is so good. He's talking about the extreme lengths their radio station is even taking. You know, we've had internal discussions here at KMOX how we're going to handle it in case something does happen. I think pretty much every business has some sort of contingency plan that's ready to go. Now, we do have a lot of people that work on this floor. Some people are going to be able to work from home. Others can't. As of right now, they're not thinking that us, the broadcasters, will be impacted. I think something really, really would have to happen before that. But we're not seeing those numbers right now in St. Louis. I wanted to do this real quick. And you know what? I thought we could have some fun with it because why not? I get these emails from different services and they say, oh, because of the coronavirus, we're going to give you this for free. We want you to use it. Feel free to use it. Our compliments to show you we're in support of you, the broadcaster. And I thought this was something. How about I do this real quick? So TM Studios is a pretty big name. If you're a radio broadcaster, you immediately think of, you know, TM Century, TM Studios. They make some, they're one of the biggest jingle manufacturers for radio stations worldwide. A lot of them are based down in Texas. They do their thing. I got an email from TM Studios that said, hey, broadcasters, we've made you a coronavirus jingle that you can use on your radio stations. And I said, I got to hear this. So you want to hear it? Are you curious what it sounds like? All right, let's take a listen together. Corona update. Oh, boy. I kind of like it. It seems very upbeat. Corona update. Well, that's not that bad. Yeah, they gave us different versions of it. COVID-19 update. It's got to feel weird if you're the singer. I know Doug's listening right now. Doug, I'm sure you've had clients or whatever come up to you and said, hey, can you sing about COVID-19? You know, just something you're like, that's a weird thing to sing about, right? Oh, they had one more. Let's see. Health update. Yeah, that's not bad. Health update. Maybe we can make our own jingles for Overnight America. But they sent those to us. It's very nice, TM Studios. It seems very upbeat for... for what we're talking about. You know, when people are listening to KMOX and they think, I got to get the very latest, what's going to happen here in the city? Are they going to reopen the schools? What's going to be canceled next? Are they going to put us on lockdown? Is the government going to come in? Is the military going to come in like Joe Biden says? And really what I need to find out is that, but hey, this is how we're going to present it. Corona update. This might be more for the music stations than it is the news talk stations. Can't we just laugh for a moment, too? It's been all serious thus far. This is Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. So this is where we're at. We're trying to still figure out exactly where the city's going to stand when it comes to bars, when it comes to the restaurants here. And that's a big question. I mean, are they going to close it down? Well, as of right now, no decision has been made. I've been monitoring the feed of Mayor Crewson. I personally don't think we need to do that. I really don't think we're at that stage right now. Kentucky's not doing it, but other states like, you see, Ohio, Michigan, them, they are doing it. And it's going to be a case-by-case basis. I think there's a lot of people outside of St. Louis that will not be doing that. Look at the churches this weekend, too. There was a lot of different cases where the churches were where the churches were fine. And, you know, same with me. It seemed like it was the regular crowd which is good. A little bit earlier today, too, we had the opportunity to talk to the superintendents at Rockwood and Parkway. I want to replay that for you because I thought it was a good interview. I think we'll be able to get most of it in here. Dr. Mark Miles is with Rockwood. Parkway Superintendent Keith Marty joined us. You can find this interview at KMOX.com/ONA.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to be here this evening with you.
You're welcome.
So this has got to be a tough decision that came through. I wanted to talk to you about the decision you guys made with the different school districts and how you guys are going to be handling it over the next couple of weeks.
Well, this is Keith Marty from Parkway. Well, we've certainly, as superintendents in the region, have been in contact and meeting over the last several weeks, certainly anticipating that we'd have to be considering many options. And today was the final meeting, and actually had an opportunity to sit down with public health officials from the county, and in collaboration with also the Archdiocese and with Kelvin Adams, the superintendent in St. Louis Public, came to the conclusion that we had reached the point where we wanted to, you know, make a decision that was certainly one that we would rather not make, but one that we felt was necessary given where we're at, and the safety and concern of our students certainly is foremost.
Along with fellow superintendents, we've also been monitoring, as much of the country has, monitoring the recommendations and the guidelines from the CDC, and we've been in constant contact with the St. Louis Department of Public Health and recognizing their guidance throughout this difficult process.
So when it came to the guidance and you're listening to the CDC and other local officials, there really wasn't any other decision, or was it was there even an option for you to stay open? It seems like all of the schools were called off at once.
Well, it was a very collaborative decision. We gathered together and explored the options, but we feel it's our responsibility to help mitigate the spread of the coronavirus as well, and we thought in taking this action and closing schools from March 18th through April 3rd, it is our hope that it will mitigate the spread of the virus.
Mm. Well, you know, we as public schools, or all schools, you know, we play an important function in the lives of families. Obviously, you know, families count on us, and there's a lot of people now that we are very concerned about, who aren't going to have their, you know, children in school. So one of our responsibilities certainly is look beyond today's decision and see how we can assist in how we can help families not only potentially receive a level of education, but also taking care of those families that have needs, whether it's food needs or certainly some other needs that we want to address. So we're going to be working together, not only Parkway and Rockwood, but our whole county working together for the next phase of this, which is certainly to take care of our families and students since they're not going to be in school.
So, yeah, as Dr. Marty said, even beyond the provision of educational services and online learning opportunities, we're also considering the social services that are involved as well, with meal provision, the social and emotional support that many of our students need throughout the school day. And we are going to do our best to continue those services to make sure our students stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, so what will the kids be doing? Because you mentioned online learning. Is that going to be an option that's put into play?
Well, I'll speak for Parkway, but I think most districts are attempting to do some level of online learning. Certainly we're not, you know, we do have some virtual classes here in Parkway, and Rockwood does too, and other districts, but we're certainly going to attempt to deliver instruction online. We have students that do have Chromebooks. We asked them to take them home on Friday before our spring break, so they're ready just in case this would have come about. And we'll attempt, and our teachers, we met with our teachers. I think they're prepared. We'll have to have some staff development to get them absolutely ready. But I think we can deliver a level of education online. It certainly won't be at the level that virtual classes are or where universities are at, but I think we can take care of student needs to a certain point.
In Rockwood, we've shared with our community that we don't believe this will replicate the daily educational experience that our students have in the classroom. But we're going to ask for a lot of flexibility and understanding as we try to provide some continuity of instruction so that our students can continue to explore, discover, and learn a variety of educational concepts.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are wondering what happens now to the schedule. So is it going to push out the school year, or is this not going to count against the school year? And there's also all the activities, the sports associated with it. Are any of those going to be tried, maybe having a makeup date in the future?
Well, all of those options will be considered. As we all know, the situation is evolving, and we continue to discover new information. We will be working as a collaborative group of superintendents. We'll be working with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education in making some of those determinations about future scheduling, and, of course, working with the Missouri State High School Athletic Association to determine where the spring athletic season goes from here.
In the short term, we have canceled practices and events in the, at least until the to the April 3rd date. But certainly there will have to be some discussion, as Mark said, with state officials. And in turn, we, you know, we have state testing coming up in April. That is right now doesn't seem as significant as what we're dealing with. But so we have a lot to talk about, certainly not only here in the region but statewide. But, you know, the decision now was made really one out of safety and concern, and I think those other details will be worked out certainly in the next couple of weeks.
That is Parkway Superintendent Keith Marty, also Rockwood Superintendent Dr. Mark Miles joining us on KMOX. So you give that April date. Are you optimistic, or at this point you got to play it by ear?
Well, I think we're certainly going to play it by ear. I think we needed to assure our parents that we are at least going to, you know, give them a date only to avoid, you know, that continual question of, you know, when. But we're going to be evaluating that in the next couple of weeks, whether that's going to mean a longer time or whether we'll, you know, be prepared at some point to give a more definite date. But we'll be evaluating that certainly over the next couple of weeks.
We know the significant impact that this has upon our families, and so we want to provide our families as much advance notice as possible with each of these decisions.
So for you guys, what happens next? What's the steps you're taking?
Well, I think we're going to be pretty busy with some of the questions you asked, Ryan. I think we're going to certainly be most concerned early this next week. Both of us are on spring break, and we were already, you know, going to be talking about, as we talked about, the online piece. So I know how we're going to be able to deliver that and make sure our students have the adequate instructional tools. But as Mark mentioned, we're going to have to start talking about, you know, how we're going to deal with the needs that some of our children have, those being meals and certainly other needs that may, you know, became aware of. So I know my schedule this early this week is going to be gathering, you know, food service personnel and other personnel that they're going to be talking about these. So I think it's going to be a pretty busy week. I think even though we're on spring break, I think we're going to be talking a lot about certainly the next phase of our decision here.
Mm-hmm. In Rockwood, we're on spring break as well. And so we'll be gathering.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
During a variety of leaders that continue to work over spring break and talking about just any gaps that we have in some of our goals in reaching every single one of our students. We want to make sure that they're safe and that they're healthy, and doing our very, very best to differentiate the services that we're going to provide for them. And there will be a lot of questions that are asked. And as school superintendents, we don't necessarily have the answer to every question right now, but we're going to be working together, and we're going to be working creatively to try to make the very, very best out of a very difficult situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are asking, too, in these different industries, what's going to happen to those that may have issues, you know, paying for their rent if they can't go to work, if restaurants close down, things like that. But, you know, there's substitute teachers and there's other people that work inside the school district that I'm guessing are not going to be able to claim hours. So have you had any discussions about those employees? What's going to be done to maybe help mediate some of the lost wages?
Yes, I mean we've anticipated that, and certainly some of our employees are you know not regular employees when it comes to their classrooms, and we begin to address it. We certainly you know these people have been so loyal to us, and we certainly want to give some comfort to them. So we'll certainly be working with them, particularly if this goes a longer term. The short term, you know, I think we certainly can address taking care of their needs, but at longer term, we will certainly have to talk more with certainly. Our Board of Education, as well as, you know, our ability to find avenues of how we can use the various staff in different ways. So that'll be part of the work we'll be doing this next week, I'm sure.
All right. So we had a little bit longer conversation. In fact, we're going to replay that. I think the full conversation after 1 a.m., but you can get it right now if you go to KMOX.com/ONA, KMOX.com/ONA. Wherever you get your podcast, you can do a search for Overnight America there. But I think it's important to point out, in a little bit later in that interview, I had him, you know, I wanted him to specify one thing. Are they going to extend out the school year? They said, we don't know yet. There's so many things that they don't quite know. So it sounds like the superintendents, though they may now be on the same page, as in, let's lock arms and get this done. What happens after that? They got a lot of individual decisions to make for each of their school districts. Articles online at KMOX.com. All right, we're going to take a look at your weather coming up in a moment. We're going to get another update from CBS News. And then right after the break, we're going to join Kristen Arnold, a rules analyst, to give us a breakdown of what happened at the Democratic debate between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And Overnight America continues. And I have to apologize to our guest, Kristen Arnold, rules analyst. You can go to her website, rulesanalyst.com. I was so wrapped up in this coronavirus local coverage, Kristen, I completely missed our interview time a half hour ago. So I'm glad we can do it now. I'm sorry about that.
Well, you know what? You and everybody else.
I know. Like, just a couple hours ago, we had our schools closed down in Illinois. They're doing almost, you know, no bars, no restaurants, only dine out. You know, there's all these different changes that are happening. We're trying to cover all these things, and people have their opinions of it for sure. Completely got swept up, lost track of times. But you know what? The Democratic debate was going on tonight. They were doing their thing in Washington, D.C., I believe, with no crowd. What was that like?
You know, it was a little different. And, you know, the basic feedback that I've been watching on Twitter feed, et cetera, is, you know, people are kind of digging it.
Really?
Yeah, because there isn't that audience response. There isn't that lag kind of, you know, we need to impress the audience or we need to have that Twitterable soundbite. And, you know, it's been kind of refreshing in a different kind of sense.
It is interesting.
Not that I was born in 1960. Well, kind of, sort of, but I wasn't around for the Nixon and Kennedy debate.
Uh-huh.
And that was the same kind of thing. It was just in a studio. It kind of reminded me of that, where you had two basic candidates squaring off against each other. In this case, the moderator was between the two. And it was substantive. I mean, I think basically a lot of people are saying that this was a substantive debate. A lot of it was around the coronavirus because, gee whiz, that's what's on most of our minds.
I noticed, too, people online saying they wish this was in black and white, much like the Nixon-Kennedy debates. You know, what's interesting, too, is they don't have to worry about working the room. That means they can keep eye contact with the moderator, which is interesting, too, because normally when they answer a question, they're looking all around. But really here, they're locked in away from the camera. It seemed like most of the time they weren't addressing the camera.
Yeah, they were addressing each other, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, especially when Sanders would launch into some kind of story conversation, Biden would like literally turn and put his hand in his pocket and listen deeply to what Sanders was saying, which I thought was just a very statesmanly kind of position to do. Sanders did kind of the same thing, but not quite as, he wouldn't turn his entire body to listen to what Biden was saying. So that was kind of interesting to just watch those dynamics. I mean, the podiums were 6 feet apart from each other, where in the past debates, you know, when you try to cram 10 people on a stage, they're within like three or four feet apart. So it just had a very different kind of feeling. And for me, a couple of the zingers that would normally land on a, you know, an audience debate stage, they just kind of felt flat to me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was wondering intentionally if they were coached, don't shake hands, don't get too close to anyone else, because everyone goes crazy in the way that we cover the coronavirus now. If someone coughs, they criticize how they coughed and if they did it the right or wrong way, you know? So I was wondering, were you even watching for, like, times they touched their face or if they reached in for a handshake and then caught themselves?
So CNN actually coached them.
Oh, really?
On the things that they were going to do. Yeah, there was an article online about that. They coached them. The only thing that they didn't say was, you know, please don't shake hands, but you guys figure out what you're going to do. So they kind of did this elbow high five quasi fist bump kind of thing, which watching two septuagenarians do that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of creepy. but okay, I'm down with that, you know. You know, and who would think that you would ask in a debate, like, so, you know, did you wash your hands before you came out here? I mean, it's just a very different conversation that we had during this debate. And so for me, some of the topics that they brought up, I mean, they got into some nuance of, you know, to try to differentiate the positions of each candidate. And I'm kind of like, you know, people, we are dealing with a coronavirus. I'm not sure I really care anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
all the other stuff.
It was just a really, really weird vibe for me.
Kristen Arnold joining us here on Overnight America. So the 12th debate total? Are we at 12?
No, it's the 11th.
Oh, the 11th.
Oh,
all right. So
God, you made me like think, oh my God, did I miss one?
We've been through so many of them.
I do think that this is probably going to be the last one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did they give any official indication of that, or is this just something that you expect?
No, that's Arnold's prognostication. I just think that between the coronavirus and everything going on, I think Biden is probably going to be the runaway train.
Yeah.
I think Sanders was making his position and trying to get Biden to bite off on a couple of items, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is probably going to be the last one. There might be another one, but I doubt it.
So with only two on stage, how did they divvy up the time?
So who do you think spoke more? You know, I do this every single time.
I know. I'm going to guess Bernie on this one. And the only reason I'm guessing Bernie is because I know that Joe Biden has really tried to manage his time as of late. He's been going and doing these really quick rallies. I think he's afraid of saying the wrong thing. So I feel like tonight he was on that same sort of, let's try to keep things to a minimum pace. So that's my guess.
You are ding, 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 ding.
Ooh.
Correct.
All right. What was the breakdown?
Sanders spoke for 46 minutes and 51 seconds, and Biden spoke for 45 minutes and 3 seconds. So it's within, a couple of minutes. But here's the interesting thing is that the ground rules change from 75 seconds for an initial response to 90 seconds. So maybe they were actually able to talk a little bit more substantively about the questions that they were asked.
Yeah. And I'm watching the replay right now because I have CNN on in the studio here. Man, Bernie's really hunching over on this sort of thing. He's really leaning into it, getting his point across on this. How do you think the moderators handled the questioning? Do you think they spent enough time on the coronavirus or too much time? Or do you think they should have covered some other things?
Well, I think they spent a bit of time. They didn't quite spend the full first hour. And then they kind of went into some strange questions, which... So the first two topics were about the coronavirus and then the economic impact. And then the third question was about electability. You know, okay, so I'm with you. But then Sanders is like the god of pivoting the question.
I know.
Like he'll take the question and like skew it to where he wants to take it. And the moderators, what bothered me about this one, quite frankly, is the moderators were pretty good about teeing up interesting questions. They were not partisan to Biden, so they were fairly equal about their questions. 14 questions to Biden, 14 questions to Sanders. They were both, you know, hard-hitting, pretty even-keeled. There weren't any leading or loaded questions for the most part. And what kind of bothered me is they just didn't, like, follow up on anything. There were three times that the moderators followed up on anything. But other than that, it was just like, hey, you know, talk for your 90 seconds, talk for your 45 seconds. You know, we don't care what you say. And then we're just going to move along. And that to me, you know, this is a stylistic thing. If you just like freewheeling, like say whatever you want to say.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, but when you're not answering the question, it bothers me.
You know, I did see that a few times, and I didn't get to watch the debate again. We started the show early tonight just to make up for all the different local breaking news that was happening. So I was getting ready for that, and I didn't get to listen to it. But I see online people mentioning that when doing the coronavirus debate that they mentioned Ebola on accident, like they were mentioning the wrong sicknesses, and it was like right on the offset.
And then, you know, if Biden had misrepresented it, we'd be all over Biden like, yeah, you don't even know your viruses. But it was Sanders.
Yeah, it wasn't Sanders who said that.
Because Biden was – so it started with Biden recalling his days in the Obama administration dealing with the Ebola virus, which was appropriate. And then Sanders calls the coronavirus the Ebola virus. And then he's like, oh, my God. Well, you know, because and he starts backtracking and blaming it on Biden, which was just funny. And nobody's really like bothered to say anything about that. But yeah. if it was Biden, we'd like crucify him.
Because we're just waiting for that next one. You know, your website, is it rulesanalyst.com?
Rulesanalyst.com.
Are you going to feel like you're missing something in your life with no more debates, or are you just now getting ready for the presidential ones?
Oh, I'm now geared up for the presidential debate because I'll tell you something. Those are going to be a popcorn fest.
Oh, I know. The last ones in 2016 were fantastic. Entertainment value-wise, sure. If we're trying to use it as a actual political debate, not so much. But man, was it fun to watch.
Yeah. And when I look at the two remaining Democratic candidates standing, I just think it's going to be a blood fest.
Oh, yeah. Blood fest. Wow.
Blood fest.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that, so let's say Joe Biden, and this is what I think is going to happen. Joe Biden gets a little touchy-feely, so when he gets upset, he likes to invade people's personal spaces and, like, touch the person. That's not going to fly on a presidential debate. So if Donald Trump gets under his skin, which is very likely to happen, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, honestly, is he going to be able just to hold himself back? Because he seems like he gets in trouble with auto workers. What's going to happen when someone really presses him? So that's something I worry about. You know, it could get into a situation where, you know, what are they going to do? What happens when a vice president tries to invade the space of a president? And how nervous do you get if you're the Secret Service trying to watch something like that?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen on stage when you're like supposed to stand behind your lectern or your podium. So Biden gets really rattled in debates, and tonight he actually did a pretty good job. And I think it actually served in his favor that there wasn't a live audience and that he could breathe. And, you know, Sanders wasn't getting all apoplectic and screaming and, you know, pointing his fingers. So things were a lot calmer during this debate. And I think Trump knows how to handle a non-crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets riled up with a crowd, but he knows how to play to the camera. And I just think it'll be a really interesting dynamic if they decide to continue with the non-live audience, which I would imagine probably will still stick for the rest of the campaign. But what do I know?
Yeah,
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical doctor. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell you.
And if they're still worried about this, imagine how the conventions could be impacted. I mean, there's so many things that could be happening between now and then. You just don't know, because when they look at these graphs and these curves, no one knows what's going to be happening. They were even talking about what's going to happen when we go to the polls, if there's like a lockdown. And there's going to be some states that might not be able to put the primary up. You know, we think about all the different possibilities and how they can play out. No one knows what's going to happen in this election going into the summer. So what a time to pay attention to that. Okay.
And this is when I am thankful that I always vote by mail.
That's the way to do it. Isn't it so much easier to do it that way? Maybe we encourage everyone to vote by mail. Kristen Arnold, again, your website, if people wanted to check you out.
www.rulesanalyst.com, Ryan.
Yeah, we're gonna have to find a way to do some more interviews between now and the presidential debates, because I have so much fun with this. I don't want to wait that long with you.
Oh, shucks.
Kristen Arnold, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good one.
She's great. She joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. We're going to, again, talk with our friend Drex next hour. Oh, Drex is so awesome. We do a hookup. We connect all of Canada together with the United States. I'm sure we got a lot to talk about on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Here's that one Bernie Sanders moment that Kristen Arnold was talking about.
So the lesson to be learned is we have got to move aggressively right now to address the economic crisis as a result of Ebola. Keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here right now. As a result of the virus here, the coronavirus.
Hey, you got Ebola in my head right here now.
Keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here right now.
He's trying to make it sound like he's impersonating a stand-up comedian. Hey, we're talking about Ebola. Everybody crazy. Ebola over here.
Keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here.
Hey,
right
everybody
now.
Got Ebola over here. Hey, you got Ebola. I got Ebola. Everybody got Ebola. Oh, you got Ebola in my head over here. Doesn't it sound like a Jerry Seinfeld type of bit or Andrew Dice Clay? Is he trying to do an Andrew Dice Clay impersonation? Let's try it one more time.
So the lesson to be learned is we have got to move aggressively right now to address the economic crisis as a result of Ebola, Keep talking about Ebola. You got Ebola in my head here right now. is a result of the virus here, the coronavirus.
Okay, watch out, Ebola. I got Ebola. You got Ebola. Everybody got Ebola. All right, so how would they handle the coronavirus? I have an answer from both Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. So they go for about 2 minutes each. Let's play just the start of each of them.
Vice President Biden, let me start with you. We're in a reality right now that might have seemed unimaginable. A week ago, schools have been canceled for more than 25 million students. Grocery store shelves have been cleared out. March Madness, NBA games, Disney parks, Broadway, small businesses all shut down. And just today, the CDC issued a new recommendation that for the next 8 weeks, events that consist of 50 people or more throughout the U.S. be canceled or postponed. What do you say to the American people who are confronting this new reality?
First of all, my heart goes out to those who have already lost someone or those who are suffering from the virus. And this is bigger than any one of us. This is calls for a national rallying to everybody move together. And I laid out in detail what I would do if were I president today. You can go to joebiden.com and I laid it out in significant detail. But there are three pieces of this. First of all, I have to take care of those who in fact are exposed or likely to be exposed to the virus. And that means we have to do testing. We have to get the testing kits up and ready. I would have the World Health Organization. I take advantage of the test kits they have available to us. Even though the president says a million or more are coming, let's just get all the tests we can done as quickly as we can. Secondly, I would make sure that every state in the union had at least 10 places where they had drive-through testing arrangements. I would also, at this point, deal with the need to begin to plan for the need for additional hospital beds. We have that capacity in the Department of Defense, as well as in the FEMA.
Okay, so there are a couple of different recommendations from Joe Biden. It doesn't seem like you're recommending what the president's been doing. Let's see, Bernie.
If you were president right now, what's the most important thing you would do tonight to try to save American lives?
Well, first thing we have got to do, whether or not I'm president, is to shut this president up right now, because he is undermining the doctors and the scientists who are trying to help the
American people. Did anyone else roll their eyes there? All right.
American people. It is unacceptable for him to be blabbering with unfactual information, which is confusing the general public. Second of all, what we need to do, and I'm glad that he has called a state of national emergency, what we have got to do is move aggressively to make sure that every person in this country finally understands that when they get sick with the coronavirus, that all payments will be made, that they don't have to worry about coming up with money for testing. They don't have to worry about coming up with money for treatment. This is an unprecedented moment in American history. Now, I obviously believe in Medicare for all. I will fight for that as president. But right now, in this emergency, I want every person in this country to understand that when you get sick, you go to the doctor.
Yeah, boy.
When you get sick, if you have the virus, that will be paid for.
All right, let me take a quick time out on this, because, again, roll my eyes one more time. So what happened here in the county when there was that one instance where there was a presumptive positive and they opened up the phone lines? Hey, call us, the coronavirus hotline, if you have any if you somehow think you've contracted this sort of thing. They said they've been overloaded with it. Boom, 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 boom. You want to talk about overloading the hospitals? This is what you tell them. Hey, everyone in America, if you need it or not, government's going to take care of it. Why don't you just hop over to your closest doctor or your residence in the hospital? And how about we just do all of that? Now, if you really want to try to stop the overflooding of hospitals, I'll tell you the thing that would be the opposite result is if you tell everyone, hey, just go on down and we're just going to take care of you. We're going to do everything you want. Medicare's going to pay for it all. Don't worry about it. Don't even bother. Da-da-da. That's how you overload the hospitals. Don't you see how that could be a problem? Not to say that Medicare for All would do the same thing, but his plan of what he's saying right there, his test run of Medicare for All, would be a test run to show it would be a bad idea in matters of emergencies like this. No prioritizing. Just go on down. You're the next contestant of the coronavirus. Another hour of Overnight America. We're live until midnight. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.